found it. The most unprofessional little podcast there ever was. Ain't much else to say.
Just
sit back, sip on some whiskey, and be entertained. Because the Whiskey Bros are about to make love to your ears.
I don't care what.
Have you ever cared what?
I will later, just not right now.
I'm going to go with no. You have not.
Okay. I'm a liquid whore.
Yeah. And welcome back to another one from our very brief hiatus of one day.
Yeah, we just couldn't get enough of ourselves.
Has it been one day?
It has.
Mm. It seems longer than that.
Yeah.
Technically less than 48 hours ago, we were right here.
I think I'm still recovering from that.
I think I just got over it today.
Yeah. And we were talking about the the booze that help, with sleep. I don't sleep worth a shit if I drink too much.
Yeah.
Mm. Not worth a damn.
Not no more.
Turns out most people don't.
Used to, you did, because used to get so jacked up, you'd just sleep for like 12 hours.
It knocks your ass out, but as far as being formative sleep, it's not.
Yeah, no. Because you never wake up and feel like,
Yeah. It's like the body struggles at night after a rough night of drinking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Punishing you for punishing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rapid heart rate. Like, it just sucks. It's not worth it anymore.
It's true. It's true.
I mean, but it was fun.
So we all paid dearly for Friday night.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We suffered on behalf of our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. That's called sacrifice.
But we're not here, damn it, to talk about our old agedness and those issues.
Old agedness.
We're here to talk to our guest, Ben Outland.
Yeah.
Welcome, Ben.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
There's a lot to talk about with you, but I think the primary focus of tonight is you are the president of the Rotarians.
Yeah, coming in, starting the new term in June, so we're really excited about it.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
Is that the right terminology, Rotarian?
Yeah, we go by Rotarians. We're the Rotary Club of Decatur.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. Can you push that mic a little closer to your face?
Absolutely.
There we go, perfect. Yeah.
Get it in there.
Get in there deep. Like
Man, there's something to be said for getting right off on this one. I mean, because that's like fifth down in my notes, but
right.
Here, boom.
Boom.
I don't even know what the Rotary Club is.
Let's dive into that.
Well, no, hold on. I'm going off the advice of our show coaches.
Oh.
Who tell people how to get them hooked.
Yeah, but that's right.
And then leave them wanting.
That team we just hired.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about
Let's talk about McDonald's now.
We're going to talk about the Rotarians and the Rotary Club and all that.
No, they said we got to wait till minute 10 to talk about McDonald's.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Hashtag.
We can't talk about McDonald's right away.
I have some rather unfortunate news, if I can find it. The poll was concluded in the Whiskey Bros.
Hey, lovely picture there. Why don't you throw that up?
Look at that.
Camera
4.
Camera 4 is functioning as intended tonight.
He's working.
Okay. The Whiskey Bros.
Is she really working?
OnlyFans. Who are we talking about?
Camera
4?
Camera 4. She's a girl.
Oh, Camera 4. Camera 4 is working.
It is. Okay. She is working.
Sorry. Okay, please.
Our poll
please
that we
continue.
Put out. Thank you. God almighty. The poll that we put out, should the Whiskey Bros start an OnlyFans, we were sadly rejected.
What?
Yeah, we're past our prime.
Where do you see
I
that?
I would not have guessed that.
So the yes votes.
It should have been done 8 years ago.
Yeah, we're past our prime, bro. Too much dad bod
going
on.
That's still a yes.
No, not really.
No,
it was a yes 8 years ago.
No, they're saying you should have done it 8 years ago. Do it.
No, I don't take it as that.
Well, that's,
but we did get some yes votes. So there are some horny, horny Whiskey Bro fans out there.
They're all
we
dudes.
Didn't say what they are.
Rieger.
I don't know. How do you interpret that? Is that we should do it?
I definitely read it as
me too.
But, I tend to be pessimistic in my, my dad bodness.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could just be relying on your sexiness versus your kinkiness. Mm. So I know a lady recently did OnlyFans, and she made $1,000 just putting her feet in pasta.
Oh, yeah.
Pasta that you eat.
Yeah. So you guys eating some brisket or something along those lines, mm-hmm. Crumbs of cornbread just falling off
so
the chin.
So you think it could have some staying power?
It could.
See, he's on to something because if you look on back lady on camera 4, yes, but as with much body hair as possible.
That got a vote.
So I did get a vote. So you're on to something. Mm-hmm. There are some weird fetishes out there. So maybe we just move forward with it.
I still think that they're telling us, why'd you wait so long to do this? You should have done it four years ago.
Okay. Yeah. And you take that bottom yes and add it to the other yes.
Well, we're
because
already,
it's kind of yes.
Yeah.
Right?
We're already more yeses than noes.
Right.
Even That's if we, how, even okay, if we take the two bottom votes out and it's just yes and no, the yes is one.
You're causing me to see this differently. Uh-huh.
To the people that voted no, screw you. Unsubscribe, please.
By the way, can I just add that in 2016, Trump got the same thing. Should have waited 8 years or started 8 years before.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And America's winning now.
And look at it now. Okay.
That's right.
Follow through. Huh. Yeah.
Okay, so we
stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. That's the best way to put that.
We can't talk about that until minute 25, according to our team.
A team, yes.
Yeah.
We got a solid team now.
But what are they?
We'll see. I mean, they just started.
Prepare for an enhanced Whiskey Bros. And we have animation.
Yeah, we've only paid them once. So, I mean, we're not on the hook with them. So, screw
them. But they did say, we can say, okay, if you want to hear this discussion, you can fast forward to minute 25.
Yes.
You're just going to miss a lot of good shit in between.
In between.
Doc looks so white.
He does. Look at that.
These new studio lights are great, but man, you're a little pasty. We're going to have to work on that red balance or the white balance.
Our sponsor says we needed new lighting, and look how white he looks.
Why don't you tell us about our sponsor?
Sponsors. Our merchandise sponsors.
What'd you have to look for?
We love. I'm not looking. I'm putting it on us so they can see the hats.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because, you know, me and you are the only one doing what we're supposed to and wearing the merch.
Mm.
Doc. Over there. Well, this guy does. Look at that. None of those guys. No merch on. God almighty.
Shit.
Virgil Leather Company.
Yep. Once again, thanks, Virgil Leather.
Thank you, Virgil.
Great guys.
They handle our merch.
Anything you want, guys.
And Ben, you've got some experience with them, right?
Yeah. We did a partnership with them with CASA.
Okay.
So a lot of those kids.
Tell the listeners what CASA is.
Yeah. So CASA helps the kids who are kind of in between foster care.
Uh huh.
So a lot of these kids were just moving their belongings in garbage bags.
Yeah.
So we reached out to Garrett. Didn't hesitate. He said, anything I can do to help. So Rotary partnered with him, got 50 bags, duffel bags that the kids could use. And CASA was just so blown away that they could have that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, we kind of take for granted all the little things that matter. But when a guy like that steps up, it means a lot.
Yeah, it really brings things into perspective. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I think we got to say Virgil like at least six times in this podcast.
I don't remember signing that contract.
Yeah, it's the team again.
It's kind of like Candyman. You can't say it three times in a row. Yeah,
one ever so often. Virgil Leather Company.
There you go. There's twice.
There's twice.
And in another change of events, I have cold brew coffee in my hands. Mm. Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Cold brew. Not a cup of whiskey.
It is in a cup of whiskey.
That might have contained whiskey once. Look how dark that is.
Well, are you talking about the glass itself because it's not been cleaned?
Yeah.
That too. Okay. That too.
It's been cleaned with whiskey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, technically that counts.
It's a detergent, right?
That's yes.
Yeah. So we were just talking about this. Do you drink cold brew all the time?
Just about.
Yeah.
I drink about 4 or 5 cups of coffee a day.
Okay. Yeah. So what's your reason for cold brew? Just convenience or?
Yeah, and I just like the flavor. Oh. I drink most of my coffee black. I'm a little lactose intolerant, so I can't do the creams and all that
dairy
type of
things
stuff.
Out.
But it's got a richness, and you know, I like Guinness too, so it's very similar texture and flavor.
Guinness is so good.
Yeah, it is. Did you jump on the oat milk bandwagon whenever that became a thing?
Please say no.
Well, I tell you what.
So
I love ice cream, but I haven't been able to eat ice cream in years. But I just discovered the Ben & Jerry's oat milk ice cream, and it's phenomenal. It's the cookie dough.
Yes.
So if you get a chance, I mean, it's $6 a tub or whatever, and
of course.
It's gone in 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Man.
So what happens whenever you consume dairy?
I get really drowsy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of start breaking out a little bit.
Yeah. It's like this way, like, wave of tiredness descends upon you.
So when you guys were chatting about that feeling you had on Friday, that's how I feel.
Would have been Saturday morning
or Saturday morning. Yes. Yeah, that 3 a.m. feel. Yes. It's very similar.
Wow.
Okay, so it's a more general body type of reaction. Necessarily like your gut wrenches up or you have bad shits,
right?
Because that's the normal
that's part
thing.
Of it. That's
right?
A bonus.
Yeah, that's
what I've heard most people say is they got the GI. They get
but
the
a true intolerance is a systemic. General reaction. So
yeah, and I'm not sure if it's a milk allergy at the end of the day.
Yeah,
because sometimes I'll have lactate and still have an issue.
But, yeah. Hey, you know.
But yeah.
Have you tried the goat milk?
Well, I heard that had lactose in it, so I know the buffalo mozzarella, for example.
It is, but it's weird. Like, most people, like even babies that can't handle milk.
Yeah.
Can some sort of... That's why I think you're right, Ben. It can't just, like, strictly be defined as a lactose intolerance because there's... I mean, there's a lot of molecules in milk that you could be having a problem with.
Does the cheese do it to you also?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so everything.
Yeah, everything, yeah.
So if you chow down on, like, a Domino's pizza, it's a bad night.
Yeah, I'm feeling... I mean, for the next 2.5 hours, it's just... Yeah. It's not a good feeling.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
And usually
a nap is coming
good
right...
Good for you. I mean,
good for you, bro.
The cold brew is delicious. I'll be fine.
Yeah. You have a legitimate self-binding constraint that disallows you eating Domino's pizza.
Or cheese in general.
Yeah.
The great thing about milk, showing up on the show is you get a $300 consultation from the doc.
That's right.
What a perk.
To say, good job being lactose intolerant.
Yes.
Let
the healing begin. It's that time of year.
Your life sucks and you can't eat snacks. Sorry, man.
That's all right.
It'll be $300.
I still got potato chips. We'll be fine.
That's part of it. When you walk in, Doc checks you.
Yeah.
We jumped on the oat milk bandwagon for a little while, and then it was.
Then we realized what it was.
You read what's in the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just junk. Yeah. It's just junk.
Tell me about
it. It was tasty.
So it's like gluten-free bread.
It's trash.
Trash. Hold on. I'm confused. What?
So you have this thing.
We went from oat milk to gluten-free bread.
Yeah.
Explain.
Okay. Explain. We went to this thing that was supposed to be like better associated with health, but it turns out the thing that was better associated with health is actually much more complicated.
Oh yeah.
And you know, gluten-free bread, I have a lot of patients, that tell me, I'm gluten intolerant. So I started buying gluten-free bread. I'm like, oh, let me see that bread because
let's read the ingredients.
Yeah. It's probably chock full of shit, just like oatmeal.
Yeah.
So have you tried to get any of your said people that say, oh, I'm allergic to gluten-free, to try some of your bread and see if it fucks with them, or they've just eaten the shit that we all are eating?
They're eating the shit that we all are eating.
And they think that's actual bread.
Well,
Doc, have you heard of Yuma, the app Yuma?
Actually, somebody this week, went and actually talked to a nutritionist or nutritional coach, and she was telling me about this Yuma app.
It's great.
It looked cool.
Somebody told Sarah about that as well, I believe.
Like, you just take a picture of the item, right?
You just scan it. So I went to the grocery store the other day, and like, I like relish on my hot dog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just started scanning.
Sweeter deal.
I'm not going to go there because I know it's a controversial subject.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But
we got to broach that.
We're going to have to poll right now.
All right. Put that up there.
You should
have happened 8 years
now.
Ago.
Yeah.
But everything was like a 4 or a 6 on a scale of 100, 100 being the best. And it was because of all the toxic chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
Like the best rating you can have for junk food is like a 38 just because it's high in sodium and all that without the toxic chemicals.
Mm. Yeah.
So like the bread and all that's
it's like.
Yeah. Grocery store bread, forget
pennies,
about it.
Pennies.
Exactly.
Jeez. Yeah, as far as ratings go.
Yeah.
Wow. So, obviously, Yuma, and I noticed this as well, is utilizing processed ingredients as part of its, you know, decision tree as far as determining, is this a healthy item or it's unhealthy? Mm-hmm. But that seems to be a big part of the app. That's what I've noticed.
Yeah. And it just ranks it. I mean... Yeah, at the end of the day, nothing is totally healthy, but I think we're all coming to realize that a lot of the things we eat, I mean, are modern-day sawdust bread.
Yeah.
You know, they're filled with toxic stuff, fillers, all these other things.
I'm not even getting started on Parmesan cheese.
Yeah, forget about it.
Sawdust.
But you made this statement, so this is totally interesting. I don't want to rabbit hole in this too much, but we could.
That's what we do.
I mean, we're all living it, right? And we're getting older, so we have to be careful what we eat.
We're going down. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. So... You know, you made the statement, okay, nothing is really fully healthy, but what I struggle with that every day, you know, this idea that there is something that we could be consuming that is totally healthy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the right answer is.
Ooh, I got it.
What?
Bam.
The Bible.
You can't eat the Bible.
Hey, but that's you consume the truth. It. You consume it, and it's very healthy. There's nothing wrong about it.
Just saying. Jesus said we can't. we can't live on bread alone.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. But can we live on paper?
But the wine back then didn't have sulfites. So
that's right. That's right.
I know. That's ink.
Ink.
Paper and ink. Can we live on paper and ink?
For a bit, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the ink part.
Funny because methylene blue is the new thing now.
Yeah, that's true. That's like ink.
Yeah.
It's what? Say what is it?
Methylene blue.
Methylene blue. Maybe Doc. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could put some insight on.
Is it that JF or not JFK? But what's his?
The RFK thing.
RFK. Yeah. He takes it all the time.
I've started taking it. It's not bad.
Yeah. Methylene blue.
Yeah.
Google. Yeah. You're close. Methylene.
I thought anything that started with methyl is not good.
Why don't you Google it, there, big boy?
Yeah, you could. Now that you have camera four.
Camera four is working hard.
She is working hard.
Oh, God.
And while you're looking at that, the health aspects of it, I can just say when I take it, it kind of feels like when you're done exercising and you had that shower.
Oh, so you have took it?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I've been taking it for a couple of weeks.
Like your body just feels droplet like, stuff?
Yeah, you just put the droplets in water. I just chug it.
Oh. Hardcore people will just
put it right on. Sure. Yeah. What does it do to you? What do you think it's doing?
Well, 20 minutes later, I just feel like my body's oxygenated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like when you get that good workout, you take a shower, now you're sitting on the couch, you just feel good, like, hey.
A little flighty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Methylene.
Yeah, methylthioninium.
Yeah, I'm going to defer to big brain here. Chloride.
Let's go with methylene blue.
Commonly called methylene blue as a salt, used as a dye and as a medication.
Mm-hmm.
As a medication, it is mainly used to treat
methemoglobinemia.
Yep.
So
it has previously been used for treating cyanide poisoning and urinary tract infection. So President Reagan might have benefited from that.
Mm-hmm.
But this use is no longer recommended. Oh, so it was effective, in other words.
Yes.
Right.
Methylene blue is typically given by an injection into a vein. Common side effects include headache, nausea, and vomiting.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so that only... loosely, well, it doesn't even touch on why most people are taking methylene blue.
Yeah, because that's Wikipedia is the where you go to get all the truth.
Yeah, they're always propositioning me for money. If you don't pay us something, Wikipedia is going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to spell it. No. Methamphetamine.
Y-L. Yeah, that's good for you.
Yeah, THYL.
THC. THLY.
Do you guys have a Wikipedia yet?
We do not.
For the Whiskey Bros?
Yeah. Well, so. You need to
not
get
that
one.
Not that we know.
And then put your OnlyFans chapter in there.
We may have one.
Forever, okay, I think told I got myself I will have arrived when I have a Wikipedia page.
I think
page.
I got
absolutely.
It.
Oh, there it is.
A volumetric flask of methyl. It is very blue indeed.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want to spill that shit on your shirt.
No.
Does it say the health benefits at the bottom? Or?
Yep. I'm sure we're going to get there.
What's that poisoning?
Cyanide poisoning.
We're just going to go right over
there. Yeah, it doesn't.
Skip that. Yeah, side effects.
Placebo.
Okay, so X-Men. It doesn't really go into any of the claims. Not that I'm seeing.
I don't see it either.
History. Malaria.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. This is a...
Okay, so the
kind of an empty...
You know what? 100% Whiskey Row fact check. It's good for you. Take
right.
it.
Right. The suspicion is that methylene blue, just like in its name, is a potent methyl donor. Okay. And that in our kind of dietary lives, we actually don't consume nutrition in a way that we properly make use of our biochemistry. So we need to have additional methyl groups. Donated. Yeah, that's tough.
So is the meth? Because you said you hit it. Is the methylene blue sort of like the is it the hydrated water now that it's big right now? Where the bottle and it's like
there's a claim.
You know what I'm talking about? Is that sort of like what that does?
Hydrogen water.
Hydrogen water. Yeah, there you go.
Isn't water hydrogen?
And I seem to remember hearing something about the mitochondria.
I don't guess with our water
yes,
now.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I mean, water still is a hydrogen part hydrogen molecule.
Yeah, but the water bottle that I'm talking about, like it.
Yeah, the black.
Bubbles it. It like sends bubbles through it, and supposedly it's.
Hydrogenates the water.
The dude that cured Dana White.
Yeah, Gary Brecka.
Yeah, he's all about it. Yeah. And that dude's like.
Yeah, he was just on Joe Rogan, too.
Yeah,
it's pretty. I thought the previous Gary Brecka episode on Joe Rogan was actually. Better. So if you're looking for an episode to watch that kind of challenges the way you look at medicine, that's a great one.
So speaking of Joe Rogan and episodes and this kind of
alternate.
Ben, we'll get around to you.
No, yeah. This comes back with us because I have it in me right now.
Yeah.
This is the BP.
157.
Oh, BPC 157.
Are you finally taking it?
That's what healed my back, bro.
Well, how long have you been taking it?
Yeah, it's a weird deal.
I took it for, 30 days? 90 days? 60
I guess
days?
I could talk about it.
I'm asking, when?
You're bringing it up yourself.
When?
But yeah. No, HIPAA.
That was like a year and a half ago.
At least.
Two years ago.
All right.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a thing.
No, but now the pills are all the rage. You see it all over the social media. Sure.
I took them for a stomach ulcer, and the jury's still out. Mm.
The pills?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can't do an injection for a stomach ulcer, I don't think, anyway.
Why can't you?
You can.
You can't? Oh.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't want to stick me. I'm not sticking a needle into my gut.
No, you have to do it. I did it for 30 days?
Okay, so what the studies show on BPC is it actually doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your target therapy or your use case is.
It's going to kind of fix everything, right?
It's not going to fix everything. So we know it. You know, there are some low-level musculoskeletal lingering issues that seem like your back.
Yep.
Okay. Like you had been around and around. You'd been ortho. You'd been chiropractor.
A year and a half worth of
everything.
Wouldn't touch it.
Yeah. And then you start on this BPC.
Like 60 days of that stuff.
Yeah. And it was like,
done.
It's
knock on wood.
Hadn't come back.
I've not had a problem with it since.
Only did 30.
Yeah, but I have stuff I throw BPC at all the time. You know, I'm like, okay, this is experimental. We don't actually know if this will help this said thing, but it might be worth trying.
Yeah.
And sometimes it helps.
It really can't hurt.
Where do you get that?
It's
TikTok.
Drug dealers.
You got to be wary. You have to be wary where you get stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So
go ahead.
Oh, I'll talk about this. Yeah. This is actually important. So think about peptides. Okay. So if you're ordering peptides online, peptides are delicate molecules. They're delicate signaling molecules and they degrade easily. Keeping peptides delicately and cold is very important. So I've had patients who have ordered BPC online and then they tell me how it came to them. They tell me how it was stored or they're storing it. And I'm like, yeah, there's no way that's actually active.
You're doing it wrong.
Right. And you do got to be careful because I was scrolling through the old TikTok like I do.
Yeah.
And it was the Joe Rogan and who was it? Oh, it was a comedian. Mall Bart or something like that. What's that show he did? Ball. He was a security guard.
Paul Blart.
See, I told you.
Kevin James. Oh,
yes. Yeah, Kevin James.
So it was that guy.
In my head, I'm like.
Here comes the boom.
Paul Blart. But I'm thinking like, that's not what he's talking
about. That's what I was talking about.
But it is.
I knew it was something like that. I just couldn't remember the name of it.
Paul Blart and Mall Bart.
So it was his episode.
They made two of those, FYI.
Yes. Which I didn't watch either one of them because it looks stupid. But anyways, but obviously he was like way over obese. Mm-hmm. There was something wrong. Yeah. There was something wrong with him. Hey, he'll tell you.
Hey, I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't know obese was a verb.
Yeah,
obese. You have been obese.
Yes, you have been obese. But supposedly he took it and it's like cured it, whatever was wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
But this is why you got to be careful. So there's a click to buy down low, right?
Mm. Yeah.
When you click on it, because I clicked on it just to see, it said, what's the real BP, what?
BPC.
157?
Yep.
When I clicked on it, it was trying to get you to buy BPC 159.
Mm.
Don't know what that is.
Yeah.
If that's even a thing. But
evidently he does.
It's nothing.
It's nothing.
It's a placebo?
It probably is not even real.
Yeah.
They're probably sending you sugar water.
Water.
So in other words,
yeah.
Talk to your doctor and get it from a pharmacy.
Yes.
Yeah, you want to verify your source.
Well, and Rogan says it's getting like almost impossible to get. Can you get it now easily? The shots?
I mean, if you know the people, the right people. So, yeah, pharmacists can. And then
you can get it from any pharmacy now.
No.
Okay.
No.
Specialty pharmacies?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And so, yeah, the quality control is a real question around peptides. Yes. I don't know how we got off on that. But
Cold brew coffee. Which brings
cold
us back
brew,
full circle.
Methylene, blue, and then peptides.
Yeah. Yes. Which brings us back full circle. I started doing the majority of like making my own cold brew because of gastrointestinal reasons. Mm. And like, I don't have it when I'm doing cold brew. What?
Dang, right on. They said we couldn't bring that up for like 20 minutes. And ooh, right on here the we dot. We're like 25 minutes.
I'm telling you,
so.
Dude, we have been grilled by our HR team.
Job,
I don't even know what
bro.
You call them.
Well, anyways, also, remember okay. they installed the little red light over there, so when it comes on, it tells us.
You can't see that in the camera,
so you're telling
look,
me
look
that cold brew don't give you indigestion or whatever
yes.
versus regular coffee?
That's exactly what I'm telling you. It has something to do with the hot brewing and the heat extraction also bringing out other acid.
Yeah, less acid.
Yeah, when you're doing cold brew, lots less acid and a lot less for the gut to contend with. Mm-hmm. Both versions are still overall good for your health. One
and
is just...
I think... Coffee Jesus may tell me in the morning when I see him I'm wrong, but I'm almost certain.
Praise be to Coffee Jesus.
Praise be to Coffee Jesus. That there is more, you get more of the caffeine in the cold brew versus.
That is false. And unless there's another way to do it, the best caffeine extraction is heat. Trust me, I read a day's
okay,
worth
we
of
need
this.
To follow up on we're that. That was to... another thing the team said is like whenever we ask a question, we have to actually follow
yeah,
up
they,
on
they
it.
Said quit.
So,
I'm so tired
100...
from actually having to do work on this show. Yeah, that's not why we started.
We hired them to do the work.
I know, but they just make us do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They told us we got to quit saying 100% whiskey profile.
Yeah, we're going to get sued for that one day.
Well, to your point, though, Heath, so the nitro has more caffeine. I know that for sure, which is...
No, I did spill it.
No,
yeah, I did a little
no.
bit.
Crisis averted.
All on the keypad there, on his glasses. Watch everyone while just spilled another okay. one off of the table.
There goes the beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch there everyone while Doc cleans up
I'll
his mess.
I have to wash my mic.
And now you're cleaning the mess up with our white hood.
I mean, no,
our
I have
white,
to.
Those white hoods are not used for the purposes of people.
It's not sanctioned.
No, we'll just have... We'll have our cleaning lady.
Sorry, Ben. Yep. The nitro.
Nitro. What do you mean by nitro? What do you mean by that?
Well, nitro is supposed to have more caffeine in it. So if you go to QT, for example, they'll have all sorts of cold brew.
Yeah.
But then they'll have a nitro, which is supposed to be cold brew on steroids. Mm-hmm. And that has a little more extra caffeine there.
I will try that in the morning.
There is also a difference between the cold brew process. Some cold brew that you buy may actually be heat extracted and just poured over ice or chilled. This cold brew process there is no heat involved whatsoever. It is a true cold brew process that I use.
So this is kind of like connected with the food discussion we just had and the peptides. So you can't just trust what you hear. Like if it says cold brew, it may not be cold brew.
Exactly.
Just like if it says gluten-free or if it said, yeah, if it's, so that's interesting. How do you confirm that?
Well, for me, it's really simple. If I can see through the cup,
okay,
yeah, that's usually a sign that's probably just iced coffee or not diluted or made properly. Mm. Yeah, if you were to look at this, it's
that looks like road tar.
Yeah, for sure. So
that's Guinness.
The visual
I guess
test
the
and the taste
test too is like how you feel on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think we can talk about Ben now.
Yeah, okay.
All right, we see the green lights on.
I just got an important text, though, from the Seersucker Company of America, and they say Doc really does look pale.
Okay.
He'd be a great sponsor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to work that angle then.
Yeah, fix that.
Seersuckers next time.
Or to get a spray tan lady in there to spray tan you before you come on the mic now.
Give you a bad...
Get on orange.
A bad
not
comb
orange.
Over.
No.
what do they call it? Toupees. Give you a toupee. Comb it over.
You want that Baywatch. You know,
yes.
That's the way to go. That's
not
standard.
The orange.
He's going to start taking off his shirt, too.
I never knew I was going for that, but I think I may become that way.
Okay.
Yeah, after all the criticism.
It's a bold step,
audience.
But...
It's wait, true.
Which way will you become?
Like Baywatch.
Oh, definitely. I can see it. Yeah, it's in the works.
Slow running down the beach.
That could have been what held you back from the OnlyFans, too.
Could have been.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, too white. We're too white.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. We have that solved, though.
Yes. Wow. So back on Ben.
Back on Ben.
Yes. We did talk about a little bit of the Rotary. You're the presidente. But tell people what the rotary is actually about, and what, because like there's probably a lot of people that don't even know what the rotary is.
Yeah.
And this may be the first time that they even heard of that.
I mean, I've known of the Rotary Club my entire life. I've had uncles, grandfathers, and everything that were on it, but I could not tell you.
Yeah.
I had the gist, I think, but I could not tell you what it is. So.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things. Any city, town throughout the world you go to, there's a Rotary Club and there's people meeting up, but you have no idea why they're there or doing what they're doing.
Okay.
And I've been through all that. The history is simply it started in 1905 in Chicago.
It was wow.
A bunch of lawyers who got together who wanted to do good in the community, and there were a lot of other business owners who wanted to do the same.
Okay.
Probably our biggest global accomplishment or achievement was we've inoculated over 2.5 billion people from polio. So, yeah, I'm not sure if your grandparents are familiar with this. We're kind of fortunate to live in a generation in America where it's not really relevant anymore.
Yeah, for now.
For now.
Can we move that just a little bit?
For sure.
Pull it to you. You can lean back and get comfortable, but you can pull that thing to you.
So
there we go.
Yeah, in the 1950s, I mean, I think 500,000 people in America were paralyzed, flat out paralyzed in the iron lung and such. You know, even a president had polio. Mm-hmm. That's how, I mean, new boundaries. So we have several members who have gone through that and still to this day, Eileen's a great example. She still makes sure that we're promoting polio awareness and, you know, we have people that go throughout the world.
It still exists, right? Like it's still out there.
Yeah. The problem is now, and I believe it to be an optics issue. You know, if you look at the map now, you know, it's usually like, you know, Afghanistan, certain pockets of Pakistan, and now Gaza is starting to have issues because of
they can't get
poor water treatment.
Yeah.
So, you know, politics aside, everybody deserves to have their kids in good health.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still think it's a mission that everyone should get behind. In our community, it's just simply this. It's easy to say it's a networking group. I look at it something a little bit deeper. I just believe it's a conduit for good in our community.
Okay.
At the end of the day, we've got so many people who are board members, people with, you know, local government, and just business owners and educators and people just try to get together, see, hey, how can we learn more about our community? How can we get involved?
Mm-hmm.
And then just taking action on it. So when I first came in, it was still a little bit about, hey, somebody comes in as a guest speaker, talks about their charity, and everybody chips in $25, and aren't we great people?
Mm-hmm.
Something we worked on the last few years is trying to be more impactful.
Mm-hmm.
So we just gave a $7,000 scholarship package out, which I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, John Lanier, great guy, he was actually up for Citizen of the Year. He's very big into what we call the RAMP project. Maybe you've heard of it, but yeah, we have disabled people, you know, family low income, and they've got kids in wheelchairs and they can't get the kid in the house. So we'll go and build a ramp for them. And that's just a life changer.
So you are engaged then.
Absolutely.
In your community. Mm-hmm. It's not just a bunch of dudes sitting around a table thinking, I will throw out some charity checks. And
then the question is, how do we do more?
Yeah.
Cause at the end of the day, we got a good bunch of good natured people. But I always feel there's always a little bit more gas in the tank. There's always one more thing that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it's just a great group of people just hanging out, have some lunch, meet some people. You know, it's fun. At the end of the day, I know we're kind of talking more about the nonprofit and the community status of it or whatever it may be. But it's just a bunch of people going to hang out and talking about what's going on in their world. And, yeah, I'm not sure what your schedules are, but sometimes it's hard just to sit down and plan an hour out to meet some old friends and hang out. This is kind of great what you guys are doing here that, you know, it's set in stone. You guys are going to meet and have some quality time with each other.
Yeah.
For some people, this is the only time of the week where they can actually
do that.
Get a chance to catch up.
Okay.
So.
And the best part about the Rotary Club is.
Yes.
What?
Your dues that you do pay in comes with one free meal at the conference center. Every week.
Whoa. Okay. So
I like the way he sold that.
Yeah. That's a good deal.
It's a good deal.
It's like conference center food is good.
It's pretty good.
Chicken fried steak's pretty solid.
That's
there.
Right. Yeah.
DCC has got some legit.
Yeah.
So is that the structure of Rotary Club involvement? I mean, basically, do y'all meet every week?
Most every week. We're
okay.
We're consolidating a few sessions now. Like, yeah, spring break, we may take the week off.
Right.
fifth week, we'll usually just meet at another location, kind of support local restaurants because they're having their own struggles. But if you get on Facebook, you can follow the Decatur Rotary page, and usually tells us what we're doing that week. And
That's a valuable.
Most part, we're at the conference center.
Is it still Thursdays? Facebook. Right,
Thursdays at noon.
Yeah. Thursdays at noon.
Yep.
Okay. Will you pull up the Rotary page?
I will.
I'm curious about
how long have you been involved?
What is that called, Ben? Is because there's a certain one for you guys, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a Rotary Club of Decatur, Texas. And then once you become a member, you can hop on the membership page. But
I was once a member for about.
What happened?
He joined the with the rulers.
The Masons?
He joined the Masons.
I didn't realize that. Are you a Mason?
We shall not talk about that.
Okay. You can't talk about it.
I was just making shit up.
It's what you were talking about. It's hard to, especially because that's my work time.
Yep.
It's hard to just shut down on Thursday for an hour while my guys are out busting their ass. But, I mean, it's just, it got busy at work. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. So I had to take a step back. But yeah, I loved it. Great people. Men, women.
No, okay, so I'm on the Facebook page.
It's not just dudes.
There's a boy right there.
No.
It's not a men's club.
No. It started out that way, but I think in the 70s or 80s, they changed it.
So. Are you by any chance the child of Michael Caine from Great Britain?
No.
You ever had that? The bloody dolls.
I mean, he's an actor. He surely got around, right?
He sure did. I'll ask my mom next time I see her.
Hey, Mom, did your paths ever cross with Michael Caine by
any chance?
This
is their Facebook page?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Rotary Club of Decatur, Texas.
Yeah, so we run two pages. We run this one, and then the Wise County Spring Event page was already created.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're kind of cross-posting. But yeah, we have a lot of great sponsors this year for the event, the Wise County Spring Event.
I forgot about the Fishing Derby.
We got the Fishing Derby coming up
in June. What lake's that? Is that Black Creek?
Yeah, it's Black Creek.
Very cool.
Oh, yeah. That's a great time.
Yeah.
Y'all should bring the kids.
A lot of kids.
Yeah. Back. Right.
Get the kids involved.
We cook and...
You stack kids on the sidelines there, and then you dump a bunch of fish in.
You just kick them in. You just kick the kids in. Kick the kids in. Yeah, yeah.
So you just had a ramp building project.
Yeah. That was Saturday.
Okay. Yep. Where did here's the building. Very cool.
Yeah, that's a picture from a while back, yeah.
Okay.
So we've built about, I want to say, 4 or 5 ramps by now.
Yeah.
I think this is the second one we did. Right now. And it's a heavy lift. I mean, we're doing it for about 6 or 7 hours out there, and it's hot and steamy. But at the end of the day, when you see the family.
It makes it all worthwhile.
Worthwhile for sure.
Cool. How long have you been with the Rotary Club?
When I moved to Decatur, I would say in about, I guess that'd be 2023.
Okay.
So Michelle from Precision, her husband Andy's the one who did the roof at the courthouse. So I was at Rooster's, and we were just chatting, and she's like, oh, well, should come to Rotary Club with me. And next
Rooster's
thing you know.
Rooster's Roadhouse, Decatur, Texas.
Yes.
Sponsorship.
Shout out to Alan.
Opportunity.
Alan Pierce. Yep. Love you, boy.
Come on, Alan.
You're the best.
Shower us with love.
We've been trying to get Alan on here for like 4 months, man.
That'd be great.
He has to now. He made me eat an eyeball, so he is obligated to come on the show.
You should get the guy from the airport we were chatting with last week.
Jim.
Yes. That dude's interesting.
Is that the author?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Pilot.
Jim West.
And his book just got most bought on Amazon.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. DNA Alien.
Yep.
That book?
Wow.
He posted it.
I'm going to have to
thing. Most something on the Amazon.
Yeah, and he said he's got a series called Assassins.
He does.
And it was kind of neat about that. I guess he's from the Mule Shoe area.
Okay.
Hmm. And he wanted to do some research to make sure he was getting things right. So he called the Marine contact in Quantico, the Marine historian.
Mm. Yeah.
And it turned out that guy was from Mule Shoe as well.
No,
and they had gone to school together. Yeah.
There's like 50 people from Mule Shoe.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Yeah. Right. And one of them's in Quantico. So they, but they wound up catching up, and he gets all his research through that guy, and just kind of a small world. But
yeah, he's done like 15 books.
I know.
Yeah.
And he tries to be authentic with it. He tries to get as accurate as possible. Right. So it's not just all
BS. Doc.
That's cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And anyway,
there's more that we can't talk about right now, Doc.
Okay, gotcha. we do have a small community of authors in Decatur.
Yeah.
So
do we? Yeah, we got to. Well, yes, we're going to throw them some bones right now because we're working on the project. But the former sheriff Lane Aiken in his book, we are working on the audiobook.
Oh, great
version.
What is
of
it?
That.
Sylvia Hornback wrote Mallard Conspiracy. That was a good one.
I think my mom bought a few of her books and handed them out as Christmas gifts.
Then your
I have a stepfather.
Stepfather.
Wrote The Justice Brigade, and it's about, it may be a fictional telling, but inspired by a true
event.
I cannot, you know, confirm or deny, but like vigilante justice in Montana involved and wrapped in with police agencies.
But like you said, we can't talk about all this. Whenever we can, we might actually have a local literature page, right?
Yeah.
You know, that
somebody should.
We have some incredible authors.
We do have some really talented people here for sure.
Yeah.
Where did you come from? If you say you moved here to Decatur in 23,
not England.
Yeah, definitely not.
No, not Wales.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, is that like where Michael Caine's from?
Exactly.
I mean, well, so you already know that he's. And
don't we have a Wales flag somewhere?
The Red Dragon of Wales is right there.
Yeah.
What's funny is my brother looks almost like Ed Sheeran.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So when I took him to Europe, it was a lot of fun. I'll put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But so what was your question?
Where'd you come from?
I moved from Abilene.
Uh-huh.
So kind of an interesting story. So I went to North Texas. Before 9/11, we had the WorldCom disaster, financial crisis, and I had secured my job with Farmers Claims before I graduated. So I graduated on Saturday, started on Monday, which is a mistake. And so next thing I know, I'm in the corporate life for 15 years. I kind of get tired of being in the cubicle, so to speak.
A little burnout.
So I sold the house and I moved to Europe for about 2 years.
Oh.
I came back.
And you are a cultured individual.
I am a cultured man.
Right. Okay.
So I came back, I thought I was gonna move to Dallas, but my mom was sick in Memphis. Mm-hmm. So I lived there for a year. And then when I came back, I wanted to get on the agency development side. So I wanted to be being the associate district manager in Abilene for about 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of just got tired of training agents. I just said, I want to go do this for myself. And it kind of came down to Southlake or Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also why my number is 682 Outland, because it was ideal, but it had the being the Southlake area code, it was kind of neat. But
I guess an affordability became a factor.
There was that. And then, at the end of the day, Decatur, I grew up in Fort Wayne.
Okay.
I've lived lots of places in my life, but I was born in Fort Wayne.
Okay.
So, and then also spent a lot of time in Memphis. Decatur has that small town vibe I like. It's, I can go into a lot of layers, but I think y'all feel something special about Decatur and Wise County.
Definitely.
I came in and felt the exact same thing. And so to me at that point, it was a no brainer. You can always drive to Southlake if you want to.
Oh, yeah. So you're a Hoosier as well.
A little bit. I'm more of a Duke basketball fan.
Okay.
But,
my wife is from Northern Indiana.
Okay. Like Gary or?
Not that far north, okay. But damn Valparaiso.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, but she informed me like anybody that's from Indiana is just called a Hoosier.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't call her a Yankee because she's a Hoosier. But I'm like,
did you tell her we're from Texas? We can call her whatever
everybody
she
is
wants.
A Yankee, like, friend. Yeah.
We got the firearms. We have the last say.
We'll call you whatever you want.
But I asked, I knew you had some involvement with Abilene because it's like anytime I sit down and talk with you about something, you're always rattling off connections and networking. It's like any conversation we've had, you know somebody where I'm either going or where I've been. I'm like, damn, Ben's been everywhere.
Well, when you said, hey, I've got Red River, what's a good spot? I knew several off the top of my head.
Yeah, so. You really did. And I think a couple of them, or no, one is probably really going to pay off. At Cypress Station.
That's a
great
place.
Which is a really freaking cool joint.
It is.
In downtown Abilene.
Yeah.
So I had to chill out there, do my little presentation, and then the bar manager was coming in later. So I went and killed some time, which means, well, what does one do in Abilene when you got to kill some time? You go to the Abilene's? No.
Oh.
I have to be presentable.
Oh.
You go to the Abilene Zoo. Which is a pretty cool little zoo.
I would
zoo.
Not have guessed that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Nope. It's a pretty cool little zoo there in Abilene. What else is going on in Abilene?
Ooh, good question.
Can I pause?
Yeah, fire away.
Okay.
Raise your
because
hand.
Because you passed over a lot of history.
Yeah, in a short amount of time.
In a short amount of time that were like significant items.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the disaster prior to 9/11 was this like tech bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the popping of the tech bubble?
Yeah. So
that's when you started your career.
Yeah. So WorldCom, and a lot of people don't even remember, like, was it MIT? Not MIT, but MCI.
Yeah.
Was bought out by WorldCom.
Yeah.
MCI was a phone company, people, before cell phones.
Mm.
But
I vaguely remember them.
But yeah, the tech bubble was starting to pop. And then about a year later, 9/11 hit. I was actually in LA when the towers went down for training with farmers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been with farmers this whole time.
Most of it, except for my hiatus and my time in Memphis.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Gotcha. And then Europe, like that's a big place.
Oh yeah.
So what, like you just moved to Europe. Where to?
So I had this fascination with Croatia.
Huh.
So I spent a lot of time in Dubrovnik and Zagreb, which is the capital. Funny story. So my brother graduated college and, you know, life wasn't paying out the way he wanted to. And I said, well, hey, you're never going to get a better opportunity to go to Europe.
Mm.
So I flew him over and we spent Christmas in Croatia. But the funny thing about it was we woke up to the sound of gunshots on Christmas morning.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Well, they do it every year because that's when the Serbs attacked Dubrovnik.
And so they celebrate that.
With the gunshots.
Huh.
So once we figured that out, we had a great Christmas day.
It's like guns are not allowed in Croatia any other time, but on Christmas morning,
it's just like
it's like everybody brings it out.
It's a bit of a rude awakening.
It's like waking up in Texas on New Year's morning.
Exactly.
What did you do in Croatia? Did you just hang out?
Yeah, I just hung out and I just leveraged opportunities. I eventually moved to Prague for about a year. Because there's something called a Zivno. It's all visas. You can only stay in certain places for certain times. But a lot of beach time, a lot of eat, pray, love, and a little bit of Bukowski lifestyle, if you will.
Hey. Wait, what did you just say? Yeah,
Bukowski.
Bukowski.
Bukowski?
I thought he said a different word.
I did too.
Okay.
What did you think he said?
We're not talking about that.
Okay.
We'll come back to that. We do not have an OnlyFans yet.
Okay.
You got to pay for that content, right? Bukowski.
Yes.
What does that mean?
What is that?
Bukowski was the
how do you spell
and
that?
And canceled.
Charles Bukowski, Bukowski.
Okay.
So kind of like a degenerate Ernest Hemingway. Like he would go to all these spots and just drink, whatever happens at night. Just kind of
an academic though, right?
I mean, he was a smart guy, definitely a philosopher type, but yeah, most of those artists are.
So what happens in Prague stays in Prague? That's what you're trying to say.
More or less. But,
yeah, I like it.
Yeah, but it was fun. And then from there, I would just fly out to different places. So you could be in Vienna in 4 hours on train. You could be in Budapest in 8 hours.
Yeah.
I flew to Israel for 2 weeks. There was a spiritual development side I was getting into as well. And Prague was also really well known for alchemy, which is as much a spiritual transformation as it is about turning lead into gold. But then went to Japan for a month. I'd never been to Africa.
Dang.
So went there for 2 months. I actually wanted to go to Iran or like Russia, you know.
Yeah.
Like
what
the process.
Part of Africa did you go to?
So I flew into Kenya.
Uh-huh.
And then I went through about 6 or 8 countries. It was an overland tour.
Oh, okay.
And then wound up in Victoria Falls.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I feel like we're just starting to crack the egg on you.
Oh,
right. So spiritual.
What Doc just said is he's going
alchemy.
To turn this into a 4-hour conversation.
I know,
sorry,
right?
Yeah,
like, you're carrying me down some path, and I want to pick the next cherry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was sick, but that's
again OnlyFans content.
Okay, so tell me about alchemy. You know, and spiritual transformation. So, so at the time you were how old?
I was probably about 36.
So
the time, yeah.
Yeah, no college student. You were no college student. You were developed as a person whenever you decide.
You said
love Croatia, and I'm just going to go over there. And then that led to so many other places.
You said 36, right?
Yeah.
How old are you now?
I'm 48.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Doc.
It's like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
You'll edit that part
quick
out.
Math.
Right?
And how does one all of a sudden love Croatia? Tell us about that. Why Croatia?
Part of it was cheap.
Mm, very good quality.
Very good quality. It's kind of like a poor man's Italy. So lots of good wine. You're on the Mediterranean. Lots of good food. Attractive ladies. That was helpful.
Yeah.
And I think maybe Game of Thrones had come out too.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
I remember that being a factor, but it wasn't the primary factor.
When was that? Like 2014?
Yeah, and they
16,
initially started in
sometime.
Croatia.
Okay.
So, like, King's Landing was the Dubrovnik area.
Huh.
And I kind of thought about maybe doing an Airbnb or something like that. So part of it, I went to Shreveport, and I'd won 120 grand playing blackjack.
Wow.
The plot thickens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then my house in Denton, which I would have been, I say to myself, I probably should have kept in, just rent it out, but I would have been taxed out of it years ago.
Yeah.
But some things you just can't learn. Yeah. You just got to learn on the backside.
Right.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But I had a little bit of money to work with and, you know, the time to take off, so... Yeah, Croatia seemed like a great spot.
Can I?
Yeah, fire away.
I'm taking a note from Doc's playbook here.
Raise your hand.
Raise my hand. how long does it take to win $120 or $120?
Not very long. Not very long at all.
But $120K in blackjack.
One night.
Yeah.
Or one hand if you throw down half of that.
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of this weird thing where I'm not even sure they make the game anymore. Like, I started
blackjack?
Off...
Blackjack? They should have had blackjack, yeah, for sure.
Well, but I started off playing something like Mississippi Stud or one of these five-card games.
Yeah.
I won't even go into the premise of it, but at the end of the day, I had won 20,000. And this is kind of a spiritual component, too, which I think... Yeah, I don't really haven't shared this with anybody, but I'll share it with you guys because it's, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, I think at some point I had made, like, a vow, like, if I've... I looked up in the sky and I said, if I win this, I'll never come to a casino again.
Mm. Mm.
And yeah.
So now you have a jackpot and you are a believer.
Yeah, but I still kept going to the casino though, because I thought I was a really smart guy. But always know, you know, who's helping you with the victory. But yeah, I won the money and I think I didn't get in the room until like 5 a.m.
Mm.
I was like, I think I had like 20 gray gooses, you know. Oof. They just kept feeding them to me. And yeah, I heard this inner monologue, hey, 500's good, let's push it to 1,000. Let's see how that feels.
Wow. 1,000's so feeling good, let's do 2,000. Hundreds to hundreds of thousands, 120,000.
Yeah, I mean, I was betting like $15,000 a hand at that point.
Golly. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. That led you, so you had money in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought to yourself, I may be narrating this incorrectly, so stop me. But okay. But you thought to yourself, okay, now I need to just go. I need to go.
Like leave.
Seek a spiritual transformation.
Yeah, I'd already quit the job at that point because I knew I was going to do something. I knew I was going to sell the house, which would have been enough to live in Europe for a period of time. I didn't expect it to be that good. I just saw I was going to be living in... Yeah, Airbnbs. I didn't know I was going to be staying at the hotels where they film, yeah, the James Bond movies and stuff.
Oh, man.
So it was cool. But yeah, it was just, you know, part of it too was like, I really wasn't happy. I was engaged. It didn't work out the way we, I guess, either one of us hoped. I blame myself looking back on it. But at that point, that was carrying over to my work. You know, mm-hmm. I was living in Denton, working in Plano, so the commute was burning me out. All the construction, the tollways weren't even ready yet at that point. I was working on my MBA at the same time, so I just had all these things going on. And, yeah, my attitude was changing. I'm just like, if I don't change something, I'm going to be a permanent asshole.
Okay, hardcore.
So, you know, hey, at the end of the day, either make a change or just surrender to the life you're living.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to make a change and said, damn the torpedoes. So
wow.
Here we are. Yeah.
Okay.
Every victory is a little bit sweeter now.
So how does alchemy work in? Okay. So whenever I think of alchemy, I obviously think of Carl Jung, right? You know, it's but what do you mean?
Yeah. And I'm not sure I'd be the best spokesperson for it, but. So there's a great author by the name of Paulo Coelho, and he wrote a book called The Alchemist.
So that's a great book.
It's a great book, yes.
Yeah.
And we're going into the summertime. That's a great beach read, everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 200 pages. You'll be done in no time.
Especially that story of the kid at the castle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If you read the book, you'll know exactly what I'm referring to. But it's like I find I refer back to that personally. Probably several times a year, just rehashing that story.
Yeah, I'd say Siddhartha. You know, I can think, I can fast, I can wait. And then The Alchemist, what was the quote on that? Is that when the universe wills it for you, something along those lines?
Something along those lines. Right. Yeah.
So apparently Prague was an epicenter for alchemy. So most people, when they think of alchemy, hey, we're turning lead into gold. Mm-hmm. What's the chemical transformation that make that happen? But there's also a spiritual transformation that's taking place. So at the end of the day, you're, I guess, applying pressure on yourself to release the negative energy, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term, releasing that into the world. So you're purifying your spirit.
Yeah.
So kind of turning your, I guess, your soul from lead into gold. I'm sure there's lots of different layers to that. Maybe you know it a different way, or
Yeah. And but what I'm hearing in that is applying pressure. Mm. I'm hearing in quotation marks the phrase applying pressure. Mm. It's a transformative experience, mm-hmm. or transformative journey. Yeah. Is not this easy cakewalk.
No, and it's people would maybe associate pressure as a negative. But at the end of the day, just getting out of your comfort zone, trying new, mm-hmm. things. Things that feel counterintuitive, but you know, at the end of the day, are going to be beneficial for you.
Yeah, they're character builders. Yeah, thank you.
And sometimes we don't necessarily realize them at the moment
until you've made it out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is this the book y'all are referring to, The Alchemist?
Yes. The Alchemist.
That's a fantastic book.
Great book.
And then along those lines, have you read The Four Agreements and The Fifth Agreement?
I haven't. No.
Okay, if you need a summertime read,
summertime my ass.
I would say Fourth Agreement.
Anytime.
Anytime.
Fourth Agreement over the Fifth Agreement, but that's a personal bias.
Well, tell me more.
So it's about this. Okay.
Don Quixote.
Okay. So this is the guy.
What?
Don Quixote. It's Don Miguel. Yeah. No.
It's read by. No. God almighty. It's read by Peter Coyote and Don Miguel.
Y'all know who Peter Coyote is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a great narrating voice.
He's the guy in E.T. with the keys on his belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great book, though.
Great book.
1984, good book.
Well, Peter Coyote did, was it Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind?
Yes.
Have you all read that one?
I've not read that one.
That's a great audio book. Like, if you guys are trying to chill at night and just find a little piece.
All of these are essential.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. Okay.
Yeah. Well, write that down, Doc, so we won't forget.
And I'll just mention the context of that before you go back to your part. So at the end of the day, when you start something new and you're excited about it, you had that beginner's mind. So how do you approach that in everything you do in your life? You know, sometimes we get to the point where we're going through motions or, you know, just kind of get bored with the process. But if you create that energy of the beginner's mind, it does something for you. And I think it was a Japanese artist, if memory serves, who actually wrote the book.
That actually, I don't know.
Yeah. It's a Japanese book by Peter Coyote.
But it's a great book.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've listened to it. Of course, I consider listening reading.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to be commuting, I mean, you got to multitask, right?
Right.
So what was the book you were referencing, and what was that about?
The
Fourth Agreement?
The Fourth Agreement.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Life.
I'm seeing three heads nod.
So yeah, so basically...
We got an assignment, people.
In Peter Coyote's voice, he tells you what's essentially true about life and personhood in a way that you can't disagree. So it's an extremely odd book, and what he's referring to is actually the Toltec civilization. Mm. Okay, I don't know if the Toltecs actually existed. I don't know the historical accuracy of the claims of Don Miguel Ruiz, or whether they're accurate or not. But man, it makes for a great story, mm-hmm. And basically, it's this idea that people are artists and they have the capacity to make of their life whatever they want to make of it, and with no other essential constraint. But we constrain ourselves all over the place. And basically, the premise is through four agreements and then through five agreements and the fifth agreement, we give up our freedom to actually conceptualize, live, design our own well-being. Hmm. Did I do it justice?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. I don't think we should give away what the four agreements are.
No, mm-hmm. It's short.
It's not very long. It's a great listen. And then I pulled this one up too. Like, if you want a good short segue into this type of reading, this book called The Egg is a great bridge to that mindset. An 8-minute audiobook or read, and it's just about like how you treat people and how you be.
It's a cool how story.
You be. How you be. Yeah. How you be. Yeah. But in the long run, it's what you do here on this earth that.
What was your? Are we on a time constraint?
No,
oh, no, sir.
So,
no,
what was your biggest? What was your biggest takeaway from that, Chance?
From the egg?
Yeah.
To be mindful of others and not just completely self-centered. Mm. Yeah.
How about you, Heath?
I have not read it yet.
Not read it?
Okay. Nope.
Doc.
8 minutes.
What? Yeah, but what was your takeaway?
I was just amazed that this guy. Now, Andy Weir, who wrote The Martian, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, with what's his face
Matt
in it?
Damon.
Matt Damon. Yeah. So this guy wrote The Martian, but he wrote The Egg, and this was a very, very short story, but at the end of it,
it's like fireworks.
My mind is, yeah.
Mental fireworks.
I listened to it with my children. I listened to it myself, and I was like, oh, God, I got to listen to it with my children.
And then did you cry?
Yes.
Yeah.
We need to start doing that. We have read some extremely awesome books. Mm-hmm. We need to start putting those out.
You're exactly
yeah.
right.
We really people. Should. Yeah. That's a good yeah. deal. Yeah. Do y'all bring up books or literature in the Rotary Club? Is anything like that shared?
I wouldn't say formally. Mm-hmm. Lane's come a few times and talked about his book, mm-hmm. And he'll be at the spring event doing book signings as well.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah.
I've heard it's really good.
Yeah, he's working on the second one, too.
Yeah.
And the great thing, now that he's retired, he's got a rhythm down.
Lane Aiken's book, I've heard, it's getting raving
reviews.
We
literally just said that we were doing the audio book.
Shit. cat's out of the bag.
we're over halfway through it, though. It is a tremendously great book, and I'm talking about vivid, graphic, mm-hmm. detailed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a juicy book.
Don't do drugs, people.
Yeah.
You won't after you read this book.
Right? I mean, thankfully some people do drugs.
Or just do the good ones.
Because this book wouldn't have been written without those influences.
That's true.
So
that's true.
It's the ultimate balance. Like, you got to have the good guys and the bad guys. And because of that, you have timeless stories.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, Wyatt Earp and the OK Corral.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a bunch of good dudes shaking hands with each other.
No.
That was
not the real story.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe the OnlyFans story.
OnlyFans. Okay. So we kind of got off on that.
On the OnlyFans?
I've heard that.
Yeah. I've heard that.
I'm still lost in like Croatia.
I'm like, do I swing at that? Do we hit that?
You forgot Savage was over here. Yes. Croatia.
I have a really tough question.
Fire away.
Okay. Why did you come back?
Well, I'd spent a lot of money for sure. And at the end of the day, too. Jordan Pearson puts it in a good way. You really can't live life in a postcard.
Never heard of that person.
Oh, yeah, who is this guy? We've never heard of this
Jordan
guy.
Who?
Yeah.
Okay, hashtag.
It's with the J-O, like the country.
Okay, so you can't live life in a postcard. So life on a postcard lacks some granular realness or reality to it or some...
Yeah, and I think the human spirit requires purpose.
Sure.
And that purpose isn't necessarily... You know, how many chicks you can bang, how many drinks you can drink, how many
pretty Instagram posts you can
make.
Exactly, right.
What countries you're living in.
What's up?
You know, idyllic setting, what countries you're living in, you know, all this stuff. So did that bring you back? It's like needing to re-engage with
well, it's kind of
America?
Not necessarily. There is a small component to that, but I came back to visit. And then my mom got sick. So she had stage, I think it was 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of those things, like, she couldn't eat anything. She couldn't toilet or anything like that. Yeah. But, you know, stuck around. And, I mean, she's great now. When she comes into care, she's pickleballing for 4 hours.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, awesome.
So she's, they call that, like, you're in remission, right?
And I'll tell you an interesting story. Because I joke with her all the time about it. You know, my mom's great. I think there's enough stories that could be told. If somebody wanted to write a book about her, they probably could, uh-huh. right? But what she'll probably be known for, she was like patient zero for immunotherapy.
Mm.
Yeah. So
this was Yeah, long enough ago.
Yeah. So for those who don't know what immunotherapy is, it's a cancer treatment where you're trying to use your human white blood cells to attack the cancer, which is a lot healthier. It's a better way to go. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It was actually the goal of mRNA vaccines. That was the original goal.
Yeah, and it works great. And she still takes, like, injections, I want to say, every 6 to 8 weeks. Kind of need to, like, so I do a little bit of Medicare sales as well, and I learned in the Medicare training that you can actually go to the manufacturer to get a, I guess, to get it written off or get a discount or whatever it may be, because she was paying $12,000 a year for it.
Gee.
And then once I realized that, I've got the form filled out for her, we submit it, and Merck just paid for all her treatments for the last 3 years.
You can.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So that was a really...
And it doesn't have to be off-the-wall treatment. Like, if you're a diabetic and you can't, your insurance is not coming through on your diabetic therapy, you could actually reach out to the pharmaceutical company. And your doctor's office should help you do this.
Yeah, and it's just a form. Plug. It's not hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
that was a good plug.
Thank
you. But that is like,
that's true.
That's medicine, right?
Yes.
That's what?
Yeah.
The Hippocratic Oath to do no harm and to help.
Well, I have to imagine the, in the defense of the nurses and all that. Yeah. The paper pusher isn't the same person always giving the treatment. So
that's true.
So sometimes.
Oh, and there have been times in my career, I know this isn't about me, but where we've had a paper win and we really, as a team, felt like it was a big win, you know, and that's not small. It's like you got this medicine for somebody that needed this medicine and they wouldn't have got it.
Yeah.
But for the paperwork. Mm. Right. So yeah, it's not insignificant.
Yeah. So she's great now. So yeah, it was kind of weird because I just thought I was going to move back to Dallas and just start working claims again or whatever. But there wasn't a lot of claims opportunities in Memphis. So, I mean, I wound up working at Service King Collision Repair for a year. Right. Yeah, I'd worked a couple other jobs as well. So once she healed up, I got straight back to Texas.
Okay.
Again, as fast as I could.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. I gotcha. And so what are y'all doing?
I don't know what he's wanting.
I see hand motions coming from Chance in his below. Arm.
He's... And he's just like, what are you pointing at? I'm like, pointing at your hand.
Are you putting at my body? What are you
doing? Looks like an OnlyFans audition.
I don't know what he's doing.
Sorry.
I totally lost my train of thought there.
I was deep entrenched listening to you two guys, and then he started looking at my nipples and stuff. I didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh. Sorry, guys.
Okay, so... Having done that and having returned, okay, for the sake of caring for family and continuing life, right? That was a sort of the way I'm hearing it, a break from life, you know, got to see some cool things for an extended period of time.
A break from life, or was he actually living life?
He may have been living life.
Huh?
Yeah, I would say it was definitely an Epicurean lifestyle for there at a time, but it's,
I love finally, that description.
Yeah. It finally got to the point, though, where, you know, one of the things I love about Europe is there's a cathedral in every town and a cathedral that took 100 years to build, you know, and has been there for 500 or 600 years, sometimes even older. And it just got to the point. I just started taking the Bible with me and I would just sit in the cathedral in a trance for hours. And yeah,
I don't think they let trans in the cathedral.
Trance.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
It's not that they don't let them in. They just don't go. It's not the problem with the cathedral.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The cathedral doesn't have the problem.
No.
The trans definitely have the problem.
I don't know. I mean, who am I to define problems? But
they have a problem, bro.
Yeah. We won't get into that
noble and heartfelt conversation.
You can be woke if you want.
Trans,
they got a problem, bro.
Okay, so that's something we don't know here.
What,
right? In our normal everyday community existence in America, we don't have many things that are easily identifiable that people started knowing they weren't going to finish before they died.
For sure. Like, so for example, in Prague, the St. Charles Bridge was built in the 1400s. Mm. It's older than America. It's older than the discovery of America.
I disagree on that. We have Interstate 35 and 820. A little tongue-in-cheek there, but I'm also serious.
Yeah,
There's engineering and construction that was started 40 years ago that's never been completed. So
the people who started it didn't see the end of it.
Yeah, so a little tongue-in-cheek, but mostly also serious.
Yeah, it just...
But I know the gist of what you're getting at.
This is called sharpshooting.
You make a valid point. you do make a valid point, because I don't look at 35 with awe.
We are still also a young country, too,
for sure.
Overall.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we got vision, God damn it.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. But, yeah, I don't look at 35 with awe like a cathedral, an ancient cathedral kind of garners.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Because a cathedral is just one little bitty building at one little bitty spot.
Well, it's not a little bitty building. I mean,
it is when you're talking about 35.
Well, I think
in contrast,
okay.
But in contrast,
And whenever I think about Rome once a day,
which we never do, we never look at roads and think, oh my God,
that's a.
But
really
then when
good
we
point.
Look at Statue of Liberty or Rome or anything like that, we're like, wonder why that is.
Yeah, Mount Rushmore.
There are like very very ancient, permanent, well maintained structures. There's churches in Santa Fe and stuff.
Yeah.
They're everywhere, but not to the degree that I would say Europe has them.
So part of it is we may think about the exterior structure. And those cathedrals are large. But then you go inside, and then somebody had to spend decades putting the artwork in every corner. Mm-hmm. Like everywhere you look is a journey by itself that you can get lost in. And it's amazing.
We also have that now. Man. It's called Cabela's.
Oh, for sure.
No, it's called
not anymore. It's not
Bass Pro Shop.
It's called what's it called? Seals or Sells?
Shields.
Shields.
That place is nuts.
Yeah, but it's a different type of nuts. That's
okay.
You know,
it's the Buc-ee's of the Cabela world.
Yeah, so we definitely have corporate worship.
Yes.
That's important in America.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what
corporate worship?
What is? How do you delineate corporate worship versus religious worship, where you get these insane structures that have been built over the centuries?
Yeah, I would say
no beaver knuckles.
I never went broke.
Prague Cathedral.
I never had to spend money in a European church, mostly because they don't go to them anymore. I go to a Cabela's. I'm going to leave broke. So there's one delineation. Yeah.
Okay,
well, and there's just some undefinable, you know, that has to do with it. Like you know, you said it. You said it. I don't know. What was that? Like episode 73?
Like we can remember that far back.
Yeah. But you went to Santa Fe Cathedral and then you walked in and there was some...
I was awestruck, but...
Yeah, there was some thing that happened
felt. Yeah, I think it was part spiritual and part beauty, because I've been into beautiful places before that have not... that have not moved me to tears. I've been to lots of beautiful places. Natural, beautiful. Man-made, beautiful. Been to a lot of, but none of them except for that one moment have moved me to tears for no effing reason whatsoever.
Why did you say man-made? Are there places that you've been that's not been man-made?
Yeah, nature.
Forest.
Forest, mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Caves.
Yeah. But and then what was that?
You've not been in a cave.
What was that confrontation?
Let's talk about your mom.
I mean, talk about alchemy, right? What was that confrontation that occurred to you in the cathedral?
I don't know, bro. That was 2 years ago.
We kind of talked about it a little bit then.
Go back
too.
To episode 73 or whatever Doc says it is. That was a long time ago. That was 2022 after we weren't even 6 months into this podcast yet. So
it wasn't 73.
Yeah, it was not 73 for sure. On the same subject of European versus American structures, and since you are an insurance agent.
Okay.
What do they make the roofs with over there?
Well, so.
Not shingles.
Yeah, listen two episodes back where we talk about
it. We had a rant about this, and I'm going to rant about it again.
Well, in Croatia, for example, because the Serbians had bombed all the roofs, they use, I want to say, like an orange clay tile.
So that maybe they won't bomb that place.
I think it's safe
it's
now.
It's orange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as Russia doesn't annex it again, I think we're going to be fine.
Excluding bombings and warfare.
Yeah, exactly. But
why do we put paper on our roofs here?
probably a cost component. I mean, I think metal roofs are a good investment.
I do too.
People can get beyond the cosmetic component because most insurance companies aren't paying for the cosmetic damage anymore. Yeah. It's got to be structural. But
that was the rant the other day of like how well-engineered American homes are from brick and mortar to the foundation and the piers underneath your foundation to the pad work that's done. And then the bloody roof is an absolute afterthought.
Right.
Yeah. We've built a $500,000 house. We're going to put paper on the roof.
Well, and the catch of it too, I mean, homes just aren't built the way they used to be built. Mm. I mean, I'd rather buy a home from the 70s, you know, than buy a home that's relatively new.
Sure.
Yeah. Is or that, a fridge is or a washer and dryer.
Is that because Donald Trump deported them all?
labor force aside.
Is the reason why they're not built the same anymore? Or?
That was just recently. So I think, no, they're
there's a quality component.
Lumber growth,
a materials
too,
component. For sure.
Materials component.
Like how fast they grow. Trees are engineered and encouraged to grow insanely fast. And if you look at houses built in the turn of the century, sorry, the turn of the 20th century, you can look and at the end grain of lumber and see there's just, you know, tiny lines of growth versus lumber now, where you may have two or three in the end grain because they grow so fast. And the longevity of the lumber is just not what it used to be either.
Yeah, but you don't need a house that stands the test of time because you're only going to live in it for 2 years.
That's bullshit.
You, my friend.
But that has been that's kind of been the concept of the Americana family the last couple of decades. Mm-hmm. I think the way things are now, that's going to push back to more generational staying in the house.
What force do you think is going to push it back?
Finances. It's already happening.
Okay.
I mean,
tariffs.
Well, that's probably going to be a factor. A lot of our lumber comes from Canada,
which is stupid.
I know we have a lot of forest here.
Doesn't make sense.
Talk to the president, bro. I'm not debating.
It's gotta be huge.
So maybe that's true. Huge. Maybe that's true. Like financially, we're going to be forced to.
Well, that's already for the past 10 years before things have gotten as insane as they are now. Kids are already staying at home a little longer, a little longer, a little longer. And if you go back 150 years. There were multiple generations of family under the same roof. So,
well, and the shame of it is, I don't want to make it a capitalism rant, but at the end of the day, a lot of businesses are looking at customer lifetime value.
Yeah.
And it's to the point that it's in everything we do.
If you build something too good, you can't make more money by replacing it.
And at the end of the day, hey, if so-and-so's got a dollar left, we need to figure a way to get that dollar. Yeah. I mean, it used to be, you know, the husband would bring home the bacon and his salary would be enough to cover the house. Mm-hmm. Then it got to the point where somebody said, you know what? Yeah, the wife needs to start working too. She's making money. Guess what? They now have enough money to buy that house. We need to raise the prices.
Yeah.
And part of that's markets, part of that's, you know, the builder, whatever it may be. And now it's to the point the kids can't move out.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. I kind of think we're going to go back to 100 years at some point where, I mean, you've got the extended family all living in.
Yeah.
And the shame of it, too, is that you can't have the 50. My grandfather's house in Memphis is still around. It was built in, like, 1952. Mm-hmm. Still in pretty good shape. I'm not sure I could buy a house, you know, nowadays.
Yeah.
And know that, like, my grandkids could live in it. Okay. Like, I just feel like something's going to
something
go
structural.
Muck with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And much less the way it's built. I mean, half of them, you could see your neighbors eight doors down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a relatively new concept in the sense of maybe in the past 10 or 20 years, that's how they've started being built.
I mean, I can see my neighbor one door down.
Yeah, exactly.
5 feet away.
But I don't know what the math is. I mean, it used to be you'd have half an acre as a backyard or maybe that'd be divided between the front and the back. But now the developer's saying, hey, we can cram six homes. Mm-hmm. In that small area, whatever it may be, and then the value's decreasing and the prices are getting outrageous, and then everybody is still trying to find a dollar here and there.
I do like metal roofs. I do like the standing seam. Those are classy look. And then have you looked into the Euroshield tiles roofing? They're recycled rubber tires, but it's made to mimic slate roofing.
Yeah, and I think Wes Cannon was telling me about that. I think that's a relatively new.
Yeah, it's a new technology, but really, really cool.
Yeah. Right guy. Yeah.
Really cool tech and really classy looking too. But anyways, that was just a segue since you're in the industry of a comparison of Europe and American design and manufacturing.
And part of it too, I mean, I won't segue too much on it, but you know, it's so hard to find a reasonable roofer these days. Mm-hmm. Like someone's just going to give you a fair price and not try to rip the insurance company off that in turn is going to raise the rates. And then, you know, even buying the quality of the roof. Yeah, you know, a lot of these places, you know, I have clients who are proud, like, hey, I just bought the 40-year roof.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, 2 years later, we're still replacing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is somewhere there is a roofing lobby.
Maybe. Smoking cigars in the back room. I don't know. But to your point, Chance, I do think we probably need to do something where we're improving the quality of the roof. Or, yeah, I have clients now where they just have a little cover for the roof. Like, it's just a metal structure. It almost looks like a detached garage.
Yeah.
And it's just over their roof to protect it from damage.
So that's what we broached the other day of, like, I said it's the second most important part of your house. However, he did remind me we're in Texas and your HVAC is indeed the second most important part of the house.
Yeah.
Foundation being the first.
Third.
2 points for Heath.
Yeah.
Mm. Foundation's first. HVAC second.
Second. And then third, the roof that keeps the weather off of you.
But if you don't have the roof, your HVAC's not going to work very well.
Well, that's true.
Maybe.
That's true.
Maybe they're tied.
It's all about balance.
That's right. But we're also concerned with these things. Mm-hmm. And it gets hard with a metal roof. So if you do too good on the roof, then this doesn't
work.
You
got to go outside to talk.
Yeah.
There's a solution for that, and it's called Wi-Fi calling.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Call Elon, get some Starlink, and then you're good to go. It's all you need. Don't care what kind of roof you got on. Just call Elon. Speaking of Elon, is he coming on?
What do you have there, Doc?
So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So.
He did not.
This right here?
Damn.
No, that won't.
No.
He did
no
not Elon. Apply.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll put this plug in.
Stokers.
Okay. Comes in a tub.
All right.
With a can.
Okay.
So that stuff has already touched Doc's fingers.
That's okay.
Do you need a spitter spin?
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. I thought it was something different.
Yeah. No. It's good old snuff.
Tobacco.
Well, a buddy of mine discovered these green tea pouches that are just stuffed to the brim with caffeine, and I thought it was something like that.
I've talked to some people who love those.
Lips? Yeah.
Yeah, I've not tried them.
I have some down at the house.
Is stuff like that going on in Europe? Do people dip in Europe?
No, everybody smokes.
Okay.
And
they still live longer than we do.
Nobody has cancer. It's weird how that happens, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about with the...
Maybe it's not cigarettes giving us cancer. It's all the fucking shit in our food.
Well, they don't use the same chemicals and all that type of stuff.
I don't know whether cigarettes give us cancer or not.
Mm.
I learned the typical line that they do.
Yeah.
And,
do they?
I mean, the consensus is
COPD, for sure.
Don't put stuff in your lungs that is not oxygen or air. Mm. That's kind of the overall...
I gotcha.
Right?
And I won't even put an argument forth for... dipping. You know, it's like, it's a nasty habit, but God, I love it.
Yeah, we all have our vices.
Is it a nasty habit?
I mean
for you it is.
You're gonna kiss kiss him?
Yeah.
I mean, if my wife chimes in, she's gonna say it is. Yeah.
I see what you're saying now. Nasty.
You were talking about Zen pouches. I've been hearing a lot of buzz. No pun intended. What are Zen pouches?
They're just straight nicotine pouches. They're flavored. You can actually ingest them. Yeah. So I don't have to spit anything out.
So I guess the buzz is from people that are trying to get off of like cigarette smoking or tobacco intake of some sort. Is that what their purpose is?
Yeah. People still who like the nicotine feel. Mm-hmm. It's also a nootropic as well. So people like it for that component. But
We've learned it's a medicine. It's a therapeutic. My wife is on it for spike proteins. It combats spike proteins.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep, sure does.
Yeah, back in the day, they actually could do a nicotine, a tobacco. They'd blow smoke up your ass, quite literally.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm just saying, that was a thing. You can find it in old medical textbooks.
Can you offer that service at Enzo?
I mean, I've thought about it.
Really? People would pay good money for that, surely.
Yeah, blow smoke. Literally, that's where that saying came from.
Blow smoke up your ass. And it was about medicating people with nicotine.
Yeah, they'd put a little funnel right in the asshole, and then they would waft smoke in there.
God.
Yes.
Sounds like Heath's anniversary night.
That's right.
Smoke enemas. Is that the pot? Is that the episode name?
Yeah. No, you can pay good money for a caffeine enema.
Mm. I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a thing right now.
What was the thing with Stevie Nicks? Like they would put cocaine in her bottom.
And
like, yeah.
I mean, I always say that, you know, there's no difference between the mouth and the asshole, except the asshole holds on to shit better. Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can, anything you can absorb in your mouth, you can stick it up your ass and absorb it better.
Quicker.
Yeah.
Okay. So how does a caffeine enema work? Is this
it's caffeine infused water.
Well, so how, let me tell you how it works. You go to your local barista and order that.
Mm. You just bend over the bar and invert yourself.
As seen on episode 162.
Yeah.
We are not endorsing any of this. It's but you could go to CVS and actually get an enema kit. And never mind, we are not endorsing any of this. It's not safe.
Coffee Jesus.
It is not safe.
There is right way now. Too much imagination going on right now. And somebody is, it sounds like you've thought some of this through.
Maybe. You know, didn't Willie Nelson say, like, coffee for your ass or
beer something? For your horses?
Oh, shit. That's what it was.
It wasn't Willie.
Damn it.
That was Toby. Okay. And Toby and Willie.
Rest in peace, Toby. Yeah.
They were both singing on that song. And Willie Nelson's still alive.
Dang right, he is.
Yeah. He outlived a lot of people. He really is going to outlive all the old country dudes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Who's going to go first, George Strait or Willie?
Ooh.
Willie's way older than him, though.
I'm going to vote George. I know George like the George and Willie just likes to chill out with the herb.
I'm gonna go with Willie.
He's 93.
He's getting up there.
He's 93.
Okay, another thing we have to follow up on.
We'll have to research on that.
We'll do another poll.
Yeah, we'll hire somebody to research that.
Okay. Let's talk about. Do you have any more hand raising going on over here, Doc?
Oh, sure.
Okay,
I got a lot.
No,
but earlier we were talking about the Rotary Club. And and the big spring event that has its own dedicated page, and what's going on with that?
Yeah, so that's I just look at this as a gift from the Rotary Club to the people of Wise County.
Okay.
So, yeah, when I first moved here, one of the things that struck me was just the community getting together for a reunion. I love the food truck festival, and the Rotary Club really didn't have anything like that. The conference center really didn't have anything like that either. Mm-hmm. It was mostly vendor fairs, and that's kind of how this thing started as the Lawn and Garden Festival.
Mm.
But one of the things I noticed is that people would come in for 30 minutes, grab their seeds, you know, do whatever it may be, and then just head right out the door.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's like, how do you make this a family experience?
Yeah.
And then how do you make it so they actually want to stay the whole day? And then
utilizing this word again, engagement.
Engagement.
Engaging the people.
Engaging the people. And at the end of the day, too, also being mindful of budgets. I mean, we're very blessed in Wise County that a lot of us have great opportunities, but there's still those single moms out there, you know, who have it, you know, don't have the money to go spend a lot of money, you know. And I think, you know, we can go into the layers of, you know, poverty and all that in Wise County. But at the end of the day, it's really just creating a forum where people can get together, have a family-friendly experience, and we've got all ages covered, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got everything from the toddlers all the way up to the seniors. So I can kind of break down some of the events we have lined up. But so we've got two bands playing. We've got bingo. We have a delicious beverage called Red River Distillery that'll
Heard
be on
them.
Display. Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah,
From
the mountains.
And then we got a kids zone as well.
That's where the Red River Distillery will be.
And then the kids love the vendor trick or treat, and that's just where, you know, they get to swing by the vendor booth and get their bag stuffed with candy. And, you know, when you see a family of four coming in, you can kind of tell they don't necessarily have a lot of means. That's just to see their faces light up. On a philosophical level or a sentimental level, it's also just creating an experience that's lifelong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hope every one of you has a moment with maybe a parent where, you know, you kind of just remember that special day you had, or maybe you're at a concert and you had your first kiss with your first date.
Yeah.
You know, those types of things, and just create an environment for that here. So it's going to be lots of fun. We have everything stacked up. I could go into detail for the next 30 minutes. About
celebrity bartenders.
Celebrity bartenders.
Yep. Major celebrity announcement. Bartender will be there. Can't give you any names because we don't want to, we don't do that here. We don't give it away. Keep the people on the edge of their seat.
Yeah,
but this is no like bartender. This is a mixologist.
A bona fide
mixologist.
Oh, yeah.
Future OnlyFans mixologist.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. How often do you see those?
Not often.
Not ever. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's gonna make
and
bank.
If you do, it's hard to identify them, but we know.
Yeah.
We know that this is a bona fide OnlyFans mixologist in the making.
Well, and the great thing is we have trading cards associated with it. So yes. Like the Pikachu that you had in the 90s, how much is that worth? What if you get it from an OnlyFans mixologist?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, a famous.
Yeah.
So our grandkids will be looking at our OnlyFans trading cards one day going, these are the people they worship.
Yep. We might have just created something. We did. I'm just saying, like, there's some brilliant idea in that.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to, like, lay awake tonight thinking
about
it. Okay,
so if you verbally say patented, trademarked, that's it, right?
Yes. OnlyFans trading cards. Touch it. OnlyFans trading cards.
Cash out the 401k. We have the new retirement plan set.
That's right.
Okay. All right. We're good to go.
So how would you sum this event? First, date and time.
Yeah, so it's going to be Saturday, April the 26th. Mm-hmm. I'll be at the conference center from 9 to 5. So in the morning, we'll have the race cars coming in. We've got the vendor fair component. We have the kids zone all set up. We have the DJ up and rolling. The weather's looking good, so we'll have the band outside. So bring your lawn chairs, bring your beach towels.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are going to want to jump on the bounce house. That's going to be awesome. Bo Black is going to be doing the party bingo station.
Sorry to interrupt you, but
yes, sir.
We have a contract with that, and anytime we mention him, we have to say the beautiful Bo Black.
The beautiful Bo Black.
Can't just say Bo Black.
Can we hit the rewind? But the beautiful Bo Black will be here.
That's a tongue twister.
BBB.
The beautiful Bo Black.
Triple B. Yeah. On site. Yes. Only.
What's he going to do?
At the spring event.
He's going to do the party bingo area for us.
Nice.
So that's a popular thing. I'd usually see it at night, but we're going to get a hint of it near the daytime. And fortunately, we got the bar nearby. So
nice.
Should make for a lot of fun.
So we got, you do have, you've got spirits that are going to be slung and a couple of nice craft cups and cocktails, but you've also got a beer vendor too, right?
Yeah.
Going to have some suds.
Yeah. Shout out to Will. He's helping us out with the beer with Ader Liquor.
So, I haven't heard of those. Is that a local?
Yeah, they're all right.
We know them?
They're
okay. We know them? They're all right. Oh, you know what? I think I've heard of that guy. He plays the drums.
He does.
Plays the drums. Yeah, and he talks about
and I think
and he talks about the weather.
Little weather guy.
He's got this great comedy routine every Monday at the city council.
Uh-huh. So,
yes.
Ask him about his weather reports next time you see him.
He definitely lightens the mood over there.
What was that, like episode 10?
There was 3,
4 or 5 of them at this point, But it was earlier on.
Oh yeah.
Ended with the drum solo. Heath got mad.
It ended up being one of our better, memorable episodes with Will Carpenter. It was that point that I realized that when Heath gets mad at an episode, it's going to be an awesome episode.
Whiskey Bros Gold. Heath has left the building. This one's going down to the record books. How would you define this? Like, sum this event up in a nice little paragraph. What would you say to attract the most?
I would just say a fun, family-friendly event with free admission, affordable food and cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, we're also doing a community fundraiser associated with it. Our raffle is amazing. Tons of gift cards, $2,500 cash gift cards, trips to Mexico, and a portion of the proceeds go to your favorite local nonprofits. So at the end of the day, it's all about community coming together and having a great time.
Dude, that's crazy because, I mean, I won't lie, that paragraph was kind of a letdown. Because in the first sentence, you used 6 Fs.
Yeah.
And then one near F, affordable, right? But then no other F word after that. But
what are you implying?
I got you.
Well, I was on Fs, and that can go back to the beautiful Bo Black to get the B's covered.
Yeah, I got you. That's called something.
Exciting, exhilarating. And effortless.
Like it.
Okay.
All right.
I think that about wraps it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, thanks for coming out.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Nice.
I have so many more questions.
You can call them out. Let me chew on them.
Yeah, on them a while.
Yeah, so what
and
he's asking
is, you back out.
Will you come back in an unofficial... Less official capacity.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I've got some reading to do anyway.
You'll just be Ben Outland.
That's good. Yeah. That's,
So another triple B, bring back Ben.
Maybe we need to like start off a Whiskey Bros like book list and maybe collude on some titles that we can put out there.
We'll start a Whiskey Bros book club.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how we do that, but
I don't know either.
It's on the agenda. We'll let the
it's a great idea.
The management team.
That's why we hired those. That's why we hired those people.
If we're going to do that instead of the trading cards, can we have the bookmarks then?
Oh yeah.
Why not? Why not?
Oh
both?
My yeah. gosh.
Yep. Cover all avenues. Why not both?
Yeah.
Yep.
Book that's way. Wow.
We're copywriting this, right, guys?
Yes.
Virgil
yeah.
Leather.
Yeah, we said it. Right.
Okay. Virgil Leather. Bookmarks. Whiskey Bro bookmarks. We're going to need some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the big spring event done by the Rotary Club coming up on April 26th. It's in a couple of weeks, all day long, family friendly.
Yeah.
Friendly. Bring the kids. Bring the mistress.
Bring the
whatever.
Wives.
Bring them all. Live music. Great spirits. Great beer. Food.
Oh, yeah.
Food.
Yeah.
And our celebrity bartender.
Mm. Absolutely. Mixologist.
Yeah. Check out Mixologist. Rotary Club of Decatur, Texas.
Yeah, Rotary Club of Decatur, Texas on Facebook. Check out the Big Spring Event. That's the name
Wise
of the page,
County
right?
Spring
Wise
event.
County Spring Event.
Wise County Spring Event. Thank you. Sorry.
You bet.
Is there a website, like a outside of social media?
No, if you just go to the Spring Event on Facebook, we've also got the invite. So we've got... I don't even know what the math translates to. We have 450 people interested so far.
Oh, that's cool.
And we haven't even done the radio ad. So shout out to JD for doing our radio ad on the ranch.
Nice.
Awesome.
So that'll be cool.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And lots should be a few Whiskey Bros walking around, interacting, talk to us, come and slap us if you hate our stuff, if you're greatly offended by what we put out, or give us a hug and
make
a kiss.
Make it a good slap.
Bring your Sharpie.
Saying.
Yeah. We'll be signing autographs too. Oh, and former Sheriff Lane Aiken autographing his book,
oh,
The
yeah.
Point.
Yeah.
He'll be there. So, yeah, there's a lot going on in this really a packed day for sure.
Absolutely.
Cool.
And the weather's looking good.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Good night.
Adios.
Ah, that was fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Been listening to the Whiskey Bros Around the Table.
Convivir con los hermanos Whiskey.